spell. Your eyes, they beckon me. Your lips, they speak lies and misery. One of my greatest joys with this show, every time, every week, every possibility, twice a week, whether it's twice in one day when we go live right after, or twice in the week when we do it on Thursdays for the weeks that I can't. One of the greatest things that I get between watching NWA Power and doing the NWA Power Review is that I'm able to jump into the fire, because I am always docking for docking. I'm Johnny Florida, and joining along with me is one of the greatest fans of Dokken, the man who Dokkened for Dokken back in 1984, the Dokken champion king himself, Papa Dave.
Oh, you're going Dokken for Dokken?
I'm much like the catch.
Think about that.
Yep.
Think about that. Like 1 minute, it'll hit you. It'll hit you, I promise. Hello, everybody. Thanks for being here at the NWA Power Recap Report Review from your friends here at the Wrestling's National Committee Network, the WNCN. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody being here. If you're live in Discord, are we on Mixler too?
Yep.
Okay, if you're live on Mixler, or if you're listening on a download or on a stream, thanks for being here. We appreciate each and every one of you. We're starting to get a little traction. A few people are starting to listen, and we appreciate that. If you like the show, tell a friend, and we would most definitely appreciate that. And I'm going to turn it over to John to get everything started. Yeah. Here's your host, Johnny Florida, our returning hero.
So, well, here's a quick thing. If you, because Dave was laughing so much, you want to know where I got the idea of saying I am Dokken for Dokken. Dave, did you ever go to? You remember Druthers Burgers?
Actually, no.
Okay, well, maybe do you maybe remember it back as what do you call it? As the Burger Queen.
I remember seeing a Burger Queen here and there when I was a younger person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Burger Queen was a big franchise. Started down here in Florida and went to a point of over 170 businesses by the early 80s. They end up quickly going down, and as of today, there's only three left. One in Campbellsville, Kentucky, and Jim Cornette knows all about them. And I took a quick look. There's two remaining ones left in Taiwan. That's it. That's all that's left of Druthers. But the old catchphrase was, when they became Druthers, was the phrase was to get them to get people to come to them was I druther go to Druthers. That was their catchphrase. So I am Dokken for Dokken, just like you are, Dave.
Oh no, and like it's like Sean said, he says that I want it to be Wasp. No, I don't really want it to be Wasp. I just want it to be anything but Dokken. But Dokken's what we've got. You know, that's it. And you know, I'm in an acceptance mood right now. So as much as I know that Dokken is just a one horse hair band from the 80s,
an amazing, awesome one horse hair band that revolutionized music to where Dave is a sensationalist that cannot exemplify his love for Dokken.
Whose biggest fucking hit was from Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Oh, take that as it will, all of you mavens of cinema.
Well, what a Debbie Downer. Okay.
Turned to Jesus. Good God.
But now before we went live, anybody is listening live now or in the download. I was talking with a couple of people about it, how Dave's loathe liver of Dokken is. So I was just giving them a recap on that. So now they got to get a chance to actually to understand that. But what they can understand more is the official review and recap of NWA Power Episode 6. I want to lead off with something, Dave. Before, if I may, I want to actually flip things up a little bit. For just one quick thing, and we'll probably double back on it again.
Okay.
The ending of tonight's episode. I was watching it live on the tube of you, with everybody else in the chat. On, as you know, when you go live, there's an active chat room, much like on Mixler and on Discord. Well, there were people thinking that it was an epic fail because that they messed up, that it was that they screwed up adding the outro music and everything while it was still playing. What they don't understand is, and I understand to a point, because the show ended up ending earlier than expected. It ended about 6:52 on my computer. And so people are looking at that and thinking it was a screw up with production, but it was actually supposed to be like a hard stop kind of ending, right? That's the way I saw it.
It did. Now, in my to my mind, the if we're kind of jumping on the ending first, it seemed a little abrupt.
Right.
It just kind of ended all of a sudden with everybody gathering for coffee by the ring.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like. I mean, nobody was fighting, so if they're not fighting, they must be out there gathering for coffee.
Right, and Sean Kenter in our Discord chat, he's pointing. He's like, it was a planned abrupt ending. That's my belief. It was planned. It wasn't a screw up. I believe it was outright planned to do it like that as a hard stop to make it like, oh my God, we're gonna have a big brawl. Why are they playing the music? And then it's like, damn it.
Hopefully, and I don't doubt that. I can you can tell this show is produced top to bottom.
Oh yeah.
Everything they do is planned, so absolutely. I don't think it was a mistake. I don't, it's just how their show ended this week. No, every show, they should end every, because they're new, every show should end a little differently with something, at least interesting to look at the very end. And having literally almost the entire, roster.
Yeah.
Just out there, milling around and talking to each other. Talking shit to each other, it might not be my favorite thing I've ever seen on the show, but I got it. I understood completely. So no problem.
Cleric of Chaos said it best. He's like, it was a cliffhanger on multiple storylines, but it was executed loud. It was Mid-South like.
Yeah, where they just drop the audio out and you see the image.
Yeah,
and you're left guessing what exactly are they saying. What's pushing what? Who's pushing what? What's he saying to him? Great back and forth stuff.
Right.
Like I said, it looked a little kind of odd to me, but it didn't put me off.
Right.
It was just something different.
That's what I was thinking. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. That way people could at least understand. So we're going to get into the official review now. But I thought that was important to point out, because there may be some people who say, oh, I can't watch this now because they screwed up the ending. It's like, no, that was planned, you dunce. So, all right. But we start off with the show. They're showing a little bit of recap from the win from the previous week with Colt Cabana winning the NWA National Championship. But then we get into the intro music, which again is an amazing song. Welcome 1984's Dokken into the fire, because I'm just going to shoot that out as much as possible because I love this song. And we know Dave loves the song. But anyway, moving on. Interview with none other than the most historic and powerful tag team ever to illustrate the glory of tag team wrestling in the NWA, the multi-time NWA World's Tag Team Champions, the Rock and Roll Express. And they come out, do a bit of a promo. They're saying never count out the Rock and Roll, giving a lot of touch and glory with everything going on. Outlaw Inc. comes out to support them, saying to get the what they say, like the badge of approval from the Rock and Roll meant a lot to them, and it says something going on. And the fact that we have the Rock and Roll now into the tag team division, whether it's for a short time or for a long period, I think is a pretty cool thing because it adds to the nostalgia of having at least one classic tag team from those days. What do you think, Dave?
I mean, it's NWA. It's very NWA to have the Rock and Roll Express out there.
Exactly.
Very much so. So, absolutely, man. You know, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bring back the Rock and Roll Express, who are still working, by the way.
Yes.
As a working tag team. So, you know, you come out and if you're armed with that knowledge, then your first thought's going to go to, oh, okay. Well, they've been 8-time world tag team champions in the NWA. Are they about to push for 9?
Yeah.
Maybe they are. Now, and then all of a sudden it becomes really interesting. Really interesting. Just, you know, simple. This is how you build an angle from the ground up. You bring them out. You know, everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. It's the Rock and Roll Express. They're actually still working. So who knows what's going to happen next? You know, that's one of the great things about the NWA Power Show is it always has something else for you to think about.
Now, a quick question I want to ask. I mean, this only was just a quick interview, but I mean, I got one quick question, Dave. Officially, America's Most Wanted is considered to be the most decorated tag team for the NWA World Tag Team titles. Record 6 times with Harris and Storm each holding it a 7th time. If people remember the storyline in the early years with Triple X, it got to the point when James Storm and Christopher Daniels held the tag team titles and Chris Harris and Alex Skipper held the tag team titles. So they got 7 times apiece. But the Rock and Roll Express, they've held the titles 7 times, actually. If they go for the belts, they'll be 8 like that. But yet, the NWA only recognizes them as record 5-time champions. I don't get it. Because I'm looking up right here. 1 time with the USWA. 1 time with NWA Southwest, which was one of their indie feds during the Bruce Tharp or the earlier years. I know exactly where they are. That was in Southern Texas. You know, 1 time under the NWA banner itself. I don't know if that's when that started. And was it 4 times under the Jim Crockett promotion years? Oh, and 1 time for the Korean Pro Wrestling Association's banner for the NWA World Tag Team titles. They won them there. So I'm curious, is like maybe they don't count the reigns between NWA Southwest and Korean Pro Wrestling. They were the NWA World Tag Team titles. I mean, and it doesn't even say like Mid-Atlantic version or Florida version. It's the actual tag team titles. It just means they may have won it while being defended over there. I don't know.
Well, when they announced them on TV, did they say 7-time NWA World Tag Team Champions?
I think they did. I can't remember. I think so, but that's the thing that confuses me.
No, and it doesn't confuse me at all. If they say it on TV, that just automatically makes it so.
Right, and that's what I figured, but at the same time, I'm just saying that apparently in the official record books, the America's Most Wanted has the record as a tag team at 6. So I just don't know if maybe they just don't count. Maybe it's like the Ric Flair deal, you know. WWE considers Ric Flair a 16-time world heavyweight champion, but Ric Flair counts himself as 21-time if you look at his actual record, but WWE doesn't count a few of them.
And I understand that, for all the purposes that you know, what's going on here and now, you know, I've heard Cornette say it a few times, 7-time NWA World Tag Team Champions.
Right.
So they're really building that up. So, dude, if the NWA TV says it, I believe it.
That's fine.
I have no reason not to.
That's good enough for me. I'm not disputing it one bit. I'm just curious why their record books are treating it like that. But I got no dispute. I think they're great. So we come to the very first match of the night, Trevor Murdoch and Caleb Conley. Here's a quick note I noticed. When Dave Marquez introduced these guys, he announced what city they're from and their weight. And I know it sounds stupid to bring that up, but apparently it was brought up. I was listening to Jim Cornette's review for the first couple when he did the tapings. And apparently what had happened was that people realized for the first X amount of weeks, this is the first week they're actually, I think, announcing the weight and cities, maybe. The interviewers, I mean, the announcers would do it, but not Dave Marquez. But apparently, Jim Cornette said that at some point during the right before they did the tapings, the run sheet that Dave Marquez had that listed everything out like that, apparently got like burnt up or on fire or something like that. But because of that, Dave Marquez didn't have their weights and their city, so he was just announcing the name. So this was probably the second set of TV tapings, the second day of TV tapings, so which is why they probably had it, because they updated the sheet. So I just noticed that. I thought it was a great match. Conley started getting in some good offense at some points. My favorite part was the spine buster. What did you think of that, Dave? That was the best part of the match.
That was a solid spine buster. That was a solid match.
Oh, yeah.
Good, solid match.
And for people that didn't see, what happened was is Conley went off the ropes and then jumped into the air onto Murdoch. Murdoch grabbed him and was able to take him down with an amazing spine buster. I thought that was... I saw that and I was like, God damn, that could have been just the finisher alone. I mean, it was on Anderson's spine, finisher, so I was cool with that. You know, then they had the spot, you know, Conley started getting some offense in, what is it? This spot was weird for me, Dave. Murdoch, for people that didn't see, was running into the corner where Conley was, and Conley put his foot up. Murdoch grabbed it, but then he just got slammed down, and it was treated as like the announcer saying it was a hard stomp and everything onto him. And so I couldn't really notice. Did Conley bring up his other leg to able to bring him down a sudden? How did that go, Dave?
I thought it was one leg. That's what it looked like to me.
Okay. I'm just saying I couldn't see, so I wasn't sure. But the match finally ended. Here's the surprise thing. Murdoch being a bigger guy, he was able to climb up to the top turnbuckle with Conley's back towards him. Jumped off and pulled off a beautiful bulldog into the ground. 1-2-3, Murdoch wins. And I was seeing comments in the YouTube, and I've since seen on the NWA's page for NWA Power 6, and the people are just happy to see Murdoch back, and they'll be getting more Trevor Murdoch. This guy, I mean, I don't think he's going to be the world's champion at any point, but this is a solid, good veteran. Bearing the namesake of one great legend and having all the training and experience for years upon from another great, the greatest world champion in the eyes of many for the NWA being Harley Race. This guy, they looks like they're going to hopefully keep him around for a long time, and I hope they do that. This guy is, they need to keep him around.
No doubt. Trevor Murdoch is great. He's great.
Before we come to the next point, they show an ad for the upcoming NWA shows. It's now been said that all 3 days, NWA Into the Fire and the 2 days of TV tapings, the first of which I will be there December 15th. So you guys will get to see my ugly face and everything, but the beautiful NWA bloody, WNC, Cyber World Championship belt, the bloody belt will be on TV as well as I bring that. Hoping to get some autographs for it for whoever wins our fantasy booking tournament, which you guys can get in if you donate to the Patreon account, patreon.com/WNC, a minimum of $10 throughout the year. Dollar here, dollar there, dollar everywhere, just equal $10 total by the end of the year, and you're into our tournament. Cheap ad. But one of the things that they finally pointed out, NWA Into the Fire, the poster for it, which I thought with Nick Aldis and everything on it, I think it's a cool logo. I really love that. But the best thing was, it's going to be on Fight TV, and they officially announced if you guys pre-order now, it's $19.99, which says to me that if you don't pre-order now, it's probably going to be $22.99 or $24.99 by the time comes. So we were talking about this last week, Dave. We finally have a price.
Well, there you go. I mean, and they're pricing it reasonably.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing. So there you
go. I'd recommend everybody. Here's the key thing. If you haven't used Fight before, go on there. If you got the money right now, purchase it right now. The important thing is going to be your email. And then what happens is when it goes live that day, you want to go back and find the email, and it's going to have like a code or something to it. You take that and you're going to purchase it, and it goes to how to log in. And you put that in and you're covered. And Fight TV, just like YouTube and just like our shows, has a chat room. So you'll be able to be involved with other fans talking about the show throughout the time. And then we'll be doing a recap, most likely, afterwards. So, yeah.
And another great thing about Fight TV is I recently watched the MLW pay-per-view, Saturday Night Super Fight, through Fight TV. Purchased it right here on my PC and was able to cast it to my Fight TV app on my Roku television. So I got to watch the pay-per-view on TV, through Fight TV, which was really cool. So that's a great feature that they offer.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. So, looks like we're going to be having Fight TV for a long haul. And I'm looking forward to that. But we now come back. Aaron Stevens is out wearing his Tropical Pirates outfit yet again. But he comes out to say that after what happened the previous week where he lost that 2 out of 2 falls match, notice how I said like that, there was never a third fall, he has officially quit pro wrestling. And he's no longer going to be part of the NWA outfit. Side note, he's not wearing pants. And he's wearing some weird purplish ankle pads. So that was odd. But he's officially announced that he's quit. He hits his phone, looks up to the sky, and walks away. But he also pointed out that he's part of a new movie called Shogun of Malibu. So first we have Tropical Pirates, and now we have the Shogun of Malibu. Dave, are you going to watch the Shogun of Malibu so you can get your daily fix of Aaron Stevens since he won't be on the NWA roster anymore?
No.
Why?
Because I have taste.
Okay. Well, that's just mean. We now come to the next match, a women's tag team match. Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell face off against Brooklyn Creed and Crystal Rose. Now, we've talked a little bit about Crystal Rose from the last time. I tried to do some research, everybody. Crystal Rose, we've talked about the last time when she came on. Brooklyn Creed, she does not seem to have been on for too long. I don't know how long she's been wrestling for. It looks like she's a Georgia wrestler, though. The only thing I could find up on her, officially her pro wrestling record is officially one match, and that's for NWA Power. That's it. They don't list any of her indie stuff. There is no account for her on cagematch.net, which if Cage Match doesn't have it, that's actually saying something, because they're the best site to go to for any stats on wrestlers. The only thing I can find up is, ironically, a match between her and Crystal Rose for the Peach State Wrestling Alliance Women's Championship, which you can watch on the Women's Pro Wrestling Network, a.k.a. WPN. Check them out, and that's a cheap plug. So WPN, if you guys get any subscriptions after today, I expect a cut. But this match, I'd have to say, Dave, was probably the weakest of the matches tonight, in my opinion. And the reason was because you could just tell how green Crystal Rose and Brooklyn Creed are. And there's nothing wrong with being green, but when you make it obvious that you're green, I mean, when, oh my God, what's his name? I'm so blanking. What was the name of that football player, everybody, that went with to Impact Wrestling to work with Moose? D'Angelo Williams? When that guy is able to look like a serious wrestler, and that's not knocking him, but the guy has no background, and you two go on and look pretty green, I mean, that's pretty saying something. So, but, I mean, I thought Marty Bell looked great. I thought Thunder Rosa looked amazing. Definitely a powerhouse. This was a Kolbosh match. It was a crush. And, so there's no doubt as far as that. I'm just saying that the two jobbers, Crystal Rose and Brooklyn Creed, they need to get more experience, in my personal opinion. What did you think overall?
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this was a showcase match for Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell.
Yeah.
Poor Brooklyn and Crystal, they just happened to be there. One of those things, they just happened to be on the other side of the ring. Okay, well, let's do something. And they got mistreated terribly. So,
yeah. Match ended with Thunder Rosa. I don't know what you call it, but the stomp that Finn Balor does. She basically did that, except instead of being on this flat on that back, stomach up, they were, you know, what was it? Crystal Rose was on her was on all fours, so she stomped onto her back and everything, got the pin. Post match interview, Marty Bell, you know, is talking about how the Thunder Rosa is her future. Thunder Rosa, it's hard to understand because she spoke mostly in Spanish, but the basic gist I could understand from what Spanish I know and the little English she talked about is that they are the women that are rising like a phoenix, and they are going to be, you know, this is going to be a fire that's going to be burning Allison Kay. That's what little I could understand. If anybody else that speaks more Spanish understood what they were saying, please give us a translation. What did you think, Dave?
Spanish, English, it was a good interview. She's a pretty good talker. Yeah. And she looks serious when she's on that end of the wrestling TV program. So, I mean, she does a hell of a job in the ring. She can talk. She wrestles mean, which is a great thing, for especially for somebody her size, because she's not a big gal. Right. But she wrestles mean, which puts her right up there with anybody, no matter how big they are. So, you know, this is kind of exciting to see somebody I've never seen before kind of emerging into something to watch, something very interesting.
Yeah. No, no doubt.
And you know, dude, she's really interesting, and she's a hell of a heel. She's a hell of a good heel. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Thunder Rosa. Marty Bell, like I said this a couple of weeks ago, my jury's still out, and I'm going to keep watching just to see what happens.
Yeah. No, I'm in agreement with that. Best comment is from the Cleric of Chaos. He says, Thunder Rosa is the most believable total package as a female wrestler going. I can't dispute that.
And, you know, I haven't seen everybody, so I don't know that for a fact, but dude, she looks pretty damn good. So there you go. I think it's important that a professional wrestler, especially in a women's division, look like she looks. I mean, she looks like she can kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
And she proves that she can actually kick somebody's ass. So that's very exciting. In this day of pity pat, you know, flying around. It's very exciting to see somebody that just gets in there and just wails the shit out of a motherfucker.
Oh, no, definitely.
That's right. I like that.
I'm not disputing it at all. We now come to another commercial ad, if you will, they promote. apologies, got to clear my throat. Nick Aldis. Oh, no. First, backwards. First off, we get another ad for Who Is the Question Mark? Which I don't think we could say too much, Dave, because we kind of get a little bit of that later on, don't we?
Oh, most definitely.
So, yeah, we can just leave it at that. But then we come to the announcement. Nick Aldis will be at the big event. And if you guys don't know what that is, one of the largest pro wrestling conventions happens every year in New York City, and this is going to be the big event 17, November 16, 2019, and it's been announced that Nick Aldis will be there. I'm looking at the event right now. You can go to BigEventNY.com to take a look, to buy tickets and learn all the stuff for the events. The official item for this is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., November 16th in East Elmhurst. Don Tony may go off and get married and be like, that's not the city. I can't believe they say it's New York City. It's not the city. Well, East Elmhurst is in Queens. Queens is a borough of New York City. So it's fucking New York City. It may not be the city as the slang is said for Manhattan, but it's in New York City. But anyway, it looks like it's going to be a dedication to Harley Race. The wrestling genius Lanny Poffo will be there for a free autograph. Meet wrestling genius Lanny Poffo and get a free autograph with $25 VIP admission. So if you get a $25 VIP admission to the event, you will get a free autograph with Lanny Poffo. Kane will be there. Paige Van Zandt, Kurt Angle, Tank Abbott. I don't know if this is supposed to be a match or not. It looks like, or is it going to be a panel? I don't know, but it's going to be Sue Young and Rosemary. And they got Father James Mitchell in the middle. Special guests include Tennille Dashwood, Summer Rae, Celeste Bonin, a.k.a. Caitlin from WWE, Bobby Blank, formerly known as Kelly Kelly, Amber O'Neill, Mackenzie Mitchell, and Amber Nova. Camille will be there. Medeja, people remember from WCW days. Johnny Rods will be there. Jordan Grace, Cameron from WWE days, Scott Steiner, and Lex Luger. Nick Aldis, the Wild Samoans, Colin Delaney, Buff Bagwell, Hacksaw Butch Reed and Ron Simmons, The Patriot, Disco Inferno, Two Cold Scorpio, Rhino, Sonny Kiss, Devon Dudley, Tessa Blanchard, Zeta Zhang, and a number of other people. Road Dogg, Brooke Adams, Gail Kim, Melina Perez. And I'm just reading off the list. Oh, look at that. Mil Máscara is going to be there. That's worth it in itself. Corporal Kirshner, ODB, Arn Anderson, Larry Zbysko. I'm skipping some of the names, everybody. And look at that. You can see Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. They'll both be there. And many other people. Roddy Piper's daughter, Teal Piper, will be there. Flip Gordon And I'm not going to read the list anymore unless I see some really big names. But looks like a good event. I recommend everybody check it out. It's November 16th in East Elmhurst, New York City. And, yeah, worth taking a look. Sounds like if only it was closer to you, huh, Dave?
If only.
Oh, you know what? I got to name off, looks like two more names. I got to name off two more names that I would, because these names I would love to meet. First off, old school Steve Corino will be there. I would love to personally see him. Quick side note, Papa Dave, I bet he'd love to meet Magnum T.A. and Tully Blanchard. But one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Dave, the greatest wrestler ever, will be there. You know who it is?
Iron Mike Sharp.
Come on, Dave. You know you want to see him. Come on, Dave. Come meet the Shockmaster.
The Shockmaster's in town.
Okay. Great. When you said Mil Máscaras, that sold me the show right there.
I know.
I'll go get Mil Máscaras. I'll serve him coffee if he needs. Dude, when I was a kid, to me, when I saw Mil Máscaras first time live in the Coliseum, he looked like a superhero.
Yeah.
He just, the way he got in the ring with the cape and all the sparkling stuff and the sparkling man, he looked like a superhero. And built like a brick shit house. I thought, wow. And he flew. None of the other wrestlers flew. Mil Máscaras flew.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, so yeah, man, that's worth the price of admission right there, just to go see Mil.
Yeah, definitely. So, oh, side note, Enzo Amore is also going to be there. So I just saw his name, but we now come back, showing a recap from last week when James Storm lost the national title and he has a backstage, interview basically saying that he's coming back for the national title, but he's got bigger fish to fry, which basically gives the insinuation that he's wanting to go for the NWA World's title, or who knows who he's going to go after. Maybe he's going to try to just destroy Ken Anderson because he blames him as well for losing the title. I don't know. Probably because of the fact that Camille was involved last week, that's why he's going to go for the World's title. But we then come back to an interview with the new NWA National Champion Colt Cabana, and he points out, you know, how he lost the belt. You know, he was hurt, he had a bad leg, but he had too big of an ego to not face James Storm, and that's how he lost the belt. Why did I say belt? But he goes, you know, I healed my leg, I healed my heart, I healed my soul, and now here he is. He's the national champion. Ricky Starks comes out. One of the funniest moments, you know, you just see Colt is trying. I don't know if it was planned out or what, but you see Colt is trying to still cut this promo on James Storm, and then Ricky Starks is standing next to him. And he's like, Ricky Starks, I don't know what you're doing out here, man. You just hear him laugh and everything. Everybody laughs. That was a cool moment. I just thought that was funny. And I couldn't understand at first what he said, but
he said something like this. Everybody knows I'm into crocodile leather.
I knew that's what he said.
But I think I can change my taste to gold.
Yeah, he said, I love that part. I'm sold on gold.
I'm sold on gold. That's a great line. I'm, you know, everybody knows I'm into crocodile leather, but I'm sold on gold. That's a great, that's how you do it in 10 seconds or less.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I kept getting confused because when he was saying that, I really thought he was saying, like, everybody knows I'm into crocodile living. I'm like, what the fuck? I know that's not what he said. What did he say? And now you said that. I was like, okay, now it makes sense. So, yeah. But like you said, I mean, he hit it 10 seconds or less, came out, and funny moment with Colt, but yeah. I really enjoyed that. We then come out to a match, actually. The Canadian Demon, Dan Parker. And who turns out to be his opponent? The question mark, Dave. We finally got to see.
Question mark.
What did you think? Why don't you give the recap of this match?
Well, the recap is pretty simple. They get in. The question mark easily handles the Canadian Demon, Dan Carter, in about 3 or 4 minutes. In his tight black mask and his kind of loose fitting masked wrestler uniform or tights. It was a pretty good little match. Yeah. Decent little TV match. It helped to introduce him. It took me about 5 minutes to figure out who he is. Now I get it.
Can you message me privately so we don't tell everybody?
I'd be glad to. I mean, it was one of these things where I'm looking at the little vignettes that they're setting him up with. Then he gets in the ring and I go, oh, and about 5 minutes in, I'm going, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I get it.
Sean Kent in the chat, he's saying, but who is the question mark? Well, guess what? I'm about to find out possibly. But we're not going to say it live on the air. So, but, I'll tell you what, Dave, his intro and him coming out changed the entire perspective on me. I expected this whole deal with the question mark to be a grand unveiling. Okay then. You know what? I got a reason behind that. I'm not going to say why, but I have a reason why that makes sense as well. But the to me, I'm start. You know what? Now that you say that, it makes me double back on. Here's what I was thinking, Dave. When he came out and the match happened, I thought this whole time with his promos that we were going to have a grand unveiling of the question mark. That we're going to be. That it's like, okay, he's gonna finally debut and we're gonna see and we're gonna finally know who his identity is. What I feel more of is that this is, at least according to this match, is that this is actually more of just a classical masked wrestler, kind of like the Masked Superstar or Mr. Wrestling number 2, you know, or the Invaders. That it's supposed to be, I've started feeling like, okay, this is going to be a classical wrestler that we just never know the identity of, you know. We finally learned the identity that, Demolition X, Bill Eadie, was the Masked Superstar. We've learned some things about Mr. Wrestling number 2. We've learned about the Invaders. But I feel like for the longest period, it's supposed to be that he's just supposed to be a classical masked wrestler.
And I'll tell you what, I'll do a few people who want to do this favor. If you come over to the old Twitter machine, go to WNC Super Party. Follow Papa Dave and the WNC Super Party right there at WNC Super Party. If you follow me and DM me, I'll think about telling you. I'll think about telling you.
This is the classic NWA power. It's like, I'll think about it.
See? So, I mean, you know, if you want to know what I know, follow us, me, the WNC Network on Twitter, on Facebook, Super Party Network. We're everywhere, and you know, we'll see. I can be persuaded. I'm not unpersuadable.
You send him pictures of Thunder Rosa, and he'll probably he might squeal.
Well, if you have some interesting pictures of Thunder Rosa, I might squeal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we're talking about professional pictures.
Let's get off this, man.
Professional pictures. We're talking about get one of her with the AAA Women's Championship. We're talking professional. You heathens, you jackals. There. What is wrong with you? But what is not wrong is the next commercial for Retromania Wrestling. It's the same ad as the previous week, Dave. I was hoping that it was going to be like maybe they're going to have some kind of promotional deal of a sudden. If you reserve right now, you can get a bonus thing. I was hoping for that, but then again, you know, I'm okay. It's a good ad. I mean, and I'm looking forward to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a good little ad. So, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. So I'm just looking forward to that. I'm hoping to get at least one or two more feds into it as well, just for fun. But we then come to a commercial for, I think it was called Thunder Rosa Into the Cage. It looks like it's a mini documentary about her now getting into the MMA world and training up. She's been training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. My God, I can't talk tonight. And she signed a contract with Combat Americas. If people remember, this is the MMA fed that Alberto Del Rio became the president of. He's not the president anymore. He stepped down, but he's still an active competitor for them. And she signed with them. Now, sad to say, she recently had her first fight at Combat Americas in San Antonio. She lost the match by a unanimous decision by the judges against Nadine Mandio. So it's sad like that, but it's going to be a documentary about her getting into the MMA world. It looks like training up all the way to her first fight. So I mean, that's still going to be interesting. I mean, Thunder Rosa, I mean, if anybody could get into the MMA world for the women's division, she'd definitely be one of them, no doubt.
Most definitely. Well done, vignette about her MMA, the start of her MMA career. So more good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah. A quick thing, Nadine Mandiao, who beat her, she's currently 1-1-0, one win, one loss. Her win was against Thunder Rosa. She's actually a Belgian fighter, strawweight division. So just giving a quick background for everybody. She's in the U.S. West. She's ranked 164th out of 415 active women. In the greater U.S., she's number 165 out of 1,200. So she may have had a pretty good amateur record. That's why she's got such a high record. So it could be something like that. So for only a couple fights. So at least it says something for her. But looking forward to see how it goes. I mean, I'm not much too into MMA. But for anybody that's an MMA fan and wrestling fan, you guys are going to want to get this Thunder Rosa documentary. So we come back to another interview with Eli Drake. He involves himself into the Camille deal. You know, Camille not talking, everything like that. He's trying to make a case for himself, like that maybe Camille's not talking because Nick Aldis is afraid of what she may say, the fact that there's one person that can beat him and stuff like that, and it's Eli Drake. But the funny thing is, as he's trying to build it up, like that there's one man who could take him, one person. And the funny thing is, you hear two names, people. One person shouted out Josephus, and then everybody started getting into a chant of the question mark. And the fan, and Eli just looked back at them and like, no, he finally names himself. But then the weird thing is, the wild card comes out and says this, and Thomas Latimer, aka Bram from WWE or Impact, whichever, came out and said to stay out of his business. Ken Anderson comes out behind Eli Drake and spooks him and everything, said he heard you were looking for someone with a big mouth. This whole, sounds like I'm moving a little fast in this, everybody, but it went kind of fast paced, and it's kind of, Dave, I got a little confused. Because now we're starting to wonder, okay, is this some possible behind the scenes storyline being built up now between Latimer and Camille and Nick Aldis? What's going on with that? You know, Ken Anderson, he just did his thing, and there's nothing wrong with that too much. But what did you think?
I know it's building to something. I can tell that they're building to something here. I just don't know what it is, which is kind of cool that I can't figure it out.
It's kind of cool, but it's like a crazy curiousness because it almost is like, I felt like I was kind of grasping at straws a little bit, you know?
That's the idea, though. I think that's the idea. You know, good, simple angles in pro wrestling are supposed to keep you guessing, you know, until they get in the ring again.
Right.
So, and I get that. I do. I'm anxious to see how it all plays out because here you got Eli Drake, man, and he just seems like to be one of these really behind the scenes shit stirring manipulative guys. And I mean, just the wild card, they're just straight up heels. They're just straight up guys. You know, it's easy to tell who they are, right. But you can't quite figure Eli Drake out, man. He's like a sort of slithering along. I like that. Ken Anderson comes in, which I'm kind of thinking it'll be maybe a Ken Anderson Eli Drake match, which I think would be a pretty damn good match.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We then come back to Billy Corgan making an announcement. This is a big deal, everybody. He didn't say what the announcement exactly is. He pointed out the fact that the Atlanta TV tapings are sold out, but he did make an important point that the announcement that they're going to be making is a big deal. And he left some hints in there that makes me got an idea of what it is. If you guys go to nationalwrestlingalliance.com, thankfully to God that these guys had that domain name to get. And I know it sounds stupid to say, everybody, but the reason why I'm saying that is because of the fact that under Bruce Thorpe, I think they just used NWA Wrestling Online was there because it was also supposed to be like their feeder for like videos of the matches and different stuff like that. And so they didn't use NationalWrestlingAlliance.com, so I'm glad they were able to buy that up. If you go to the website, at the very top, sign up for Billy Corgan's special announcement. You could sign up for the email alert, which you click it right there, I'm doing right now, and you could put in your name and your email and submit. I've already done that. I've already done that. So this is the good thing. That's how I got the alert for when tickets were on sale for the NWA tapings in December. That's, I mean, I already, we watching the show, we know that those things are supposed to be happening. But I got the email, which let me know, so I was able to get in on the update for it for when it actually opened up. So I can personally tell you that the NWA email alert system is actually very valuable. So you want to go. Go to NationalWrestlingAlliance.com, sign up for the email alert, and check it out. And, I mean, it's definitely worth getting. So you're going to really be benefiting from it. Side note, I'm looking at their website, and they got every single video for the 10 pounds of gold on the very bottom of the page. You could scroll down and see all of it. They got a good setup going on. The only thing I wish they had was like a roster section with the and an events section. They got a news section, but they don't have a roster or an events section on the website. But I'm not knocking overall. So, but I have a theory, Dave, if I may. And we know how I am with theories, but I have a theory.
Go ahead.
There was something that I felt was like a kind of an Easter egg, but not entirely an Easter egg. I felt it was too obvious that Billy said in his statement. He said that people have been critiquing NWA, thinking that this is as big as they're going to be going and stuff like that, and this is all that they will do. I got the feeling that he's going to be announcing one of two things. Either one, a set of events for more TV tapings in another part of the U.S., might be studios wrestling still, maybe a little bit bigger. Maybe it'll be a bigger studio where they can actually put fans on two sides. Who knows? I don't know. Or he could be announcing that they've actually gotten a TV deal somewhere. What do you think?
Well, I thought it was that they maybe one of their events in the near future, after the December stuff, might be in a larger arena. I thought it might be as simple as that. Now that you say that, that's interesting. So there again, even the president of the company making an announcement about his website and, you know, sign up for all the announcements that are coming from the NWA, you know, even those segments of the show leave you wanting a little bit more and leave you wondering, well, what exactly is he talking about?
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. I think that's great.
It really got me curious. So let's see if I can find it. I'm gonna. Everybody's about to get in a joy of a couple of minutes of a break from hearing us.
For supporting NWA Power, these first 5-6 weeks have been amazing. There's a lot more to come. We'll see in the pay-per-view on December 14th and a whole nother round of TV tapings. Those tapings are now sold out. So thank you to everyone coming. And the way that people got the tickets for the tapings was they signed up for our email list at NationalWrestlingAlliance.com. It's pretty simple. We don't abuse it, but you want to be first. When we put the tickets up for sale for the pay-per-view, the people on the email list were the first to get the announcement. So one of the things that makes us laugh is people assume that what they're seeing from the National Wrestling Alliance to this point is all we're going to be. We have a lot more planned and a lot more in store, and we know you'll be there for this. So the thing we're about to announce, you're going to want to be on that list because you want to be first to know. Trust me, it's going to make news, and it's going to expand our programming in a very interesting way. So to everybody in the business and to all our fans, NationalWrestlingAlliance.com, sign up for the email. Easy, simple. You won't be disappointed.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
That's what was making me think. Now, look, I could be completely wrong, but those felt like an Easter egg. That he had to point out that what makes us laugh is that people think that this is all we're going to be. And it's like, I've got the feeling like he's about to announce something big as far as maybe a TV deal, maybe a big arena like you're saying. It could be that or a set of tapings elsewhere. It's got to be one of those things in that realm. It's just what I'm feeling. So, any last comments on that, Dave?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I mean, are you good? I mean, how good are you, Dave? I mean, are you good? Like, you're so good. You're just good and you're able to do this show. Are you good that you can go out and just sit back and relax and enjoy the peace out there in the fields? Like, are you that relaxed? Are you that good?
Dude, I'm city good. I'm country good. I'm up in the mountains good.
Okay, good.
I'm down in the prairies good. I'm in the deserts good. I'm sailing on the ocean. I'm floating up the river. I'm in the middle of the lake good. That's how fucking good I am.
Okay, good. But do you also like to make money?
I love money.
And did you love seeing how you, when your daughter would grow up over time, did you love seeing her grow and flourish?
Grow up, yes.
Wonderful. Good. You know where you can get all of that all in one, Dave?
Oh, no.
You can get all of that. The idea of making money, seeing something grow and flourish, and beautiful relaxation in the countryside. If you go to Tony Fox Wrestling Farm, everybody, he loves wrestling and he loves farming. That's why he opened Tony Fox Wrestling Farm. For only $15,000, Papa Dave, you could grow your own heel or your own baby face. You got to call right now, toll free, 555-123-4567. Did you catch that number? That's 555-765-4321. That's Tony Fox Wrestling Farm in Paducah, Kentucky, Papa Dave.
I may have missed that. I think I closed my eyes and shook my head. For 3 minutes. I didn't actually put a timer on it, but I'm pretty sure I was doing that. Going, oh dear Lord. Oh dear Lord. Wrestling farm? Really? Wrestling farm? That and docking? Christ, man, what the fuck?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. I'm Tony Falk from Paducah, Kentucky. I love wrestling and I love farming. So I decided to combine the two and start Tony Falk's Wrestling Farm. Here at the Tony Falk's Wrestling Farm, we grow heels and we grow baby faces because we are trying to balance out the wrestling business. And here's the good news. For only $15,000, you can have your own heel or your own baby face. So if you want your own heel or baby face, all you got to do is call 555-123-4567. Remember the number, 555-765-4321. And tell them Uncle Tony sent you.
Okay. All right. Here's my question. Whoever's writing the comedy over there for NWA Power, I've got a number for them to call. It's 1-800-DIPSHIT. Why don't they call 1-800-DIPSHIT so they can get some comedy writing tips? Christ on a cracker, man. That's fucking awful. 1-800-DIPSHIT. Whoever's thinking, man, not only this is comedy gold, you fucking missed the boat, sunshine. It ain't comedy gold, it's comedy mud. I'm sorry, sunshine, you're just missing the boat. Oh Lord Jesus. Okay, all right. Let's you know, and I'm sure he's heard it a million times, but let's get off Tony Falk.
Oh, that was great. Oh, that was perfect. Oh, my God. Oh, I can go for a cigarette now. That was so good. Okay. We now... Oh, man, you gave me a bit of a headache from that laugh. Okay. We then come back to a replay of the Tim Storm, Nick Aldis talk from the interview the previous week. Basically, Nick Aldis telling Tim Storm he's not going to let him just leave the business and walk away, you know. He helped build everything that they're doing right now. So, that's good. That was the only bit of Tim Storm we saw in the night. So, hopefully we see him again the next night. Next week, I should say. We then come back to Nick Aldis, actually giving a live interview, if you will. And Joe Galli asked some questions about the James Storm's conspiracy that Nick Aldis and the NWA leadership are colluding together for the World's Championship and stuff like that. And Nick Aldis builds himself up. He points out like that there's a reason why he's the world's champion. You know, there's a reason why he was the one who presented Dory Funk Jr. the Lou Thesz Award. He's the reason why Harley Race chose to stand next to him with both their NWA Worlds titles and everything. He brings all that up, which I thought was really cool. And he then he shows that basically he's the mantle for the champions, and he's going to make sure there's no tomfoolery going on, no dibberdasheries. As he says, he doesn't say any of that because he says that he's going to sit ringside during the World's Tag Team Title match to make sure there was no shenanigans, nothing being done to mess up the match between the champion and the champions and the challenges. Which we then come to the match. The NWA World Tag Team titles are defending on the line. The wild card, Thomas Latimer and Royce Isaacs, defending against Outlaw Inc. of Eddie Kingston and Homicide. Dave, you want to take away, do the recap for the match?
First curiosity is this. I think Eddie Kingston may have been a bit hurt. Because he did the gimmick with the knee there near the end of the match where, you know, he was lifting, I think, Latimer up for a suplex, and his knee gave out. And I get it. It's a good angle as part of the match and good psychology. But I got the impression that maybe in some past matches, Kingston, may have a bum knee right at the moment. So, but I thought it was a great match. And then Nick Aldis being at ringside prevented anybody else from getting in there. It was pretty straightforward. The heels, the guy named Royce, they did a lot of heel stuff. Kingston and Homicide actually looked pretty good. They had good tag team flow. Homicide did some, to bigger guys, did some really good looking crisp moves. So I liked the match a lot. You know, I'm a Homicide and Eddie Kingston fan, so that makes it easy for me. Really, I enjoyed the hell out of the match.
No, definitely. I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was a good, solid one. You know, a wild card ends up picking up the win. I don't know. It just feels like a little bit out of the element, because when you think of how these guys are built up, you know, these guys are muscle bound, you know, Royce Isaacs and Latimer. But I just feel like the kind of guys these guys are, the match definitely was a brawl. But I just feel like that they're the perfect kind of match that would be a no DQ or an ECW style hardcore match rules. I just feel like these two teams, that would set it over between them. But, I mean, I'm not saying that the tag team titles have to be defended like that. I'm just saying that I think that that would have put everybody much more into an element, even more so. But I did really enjoy the match. I really did think it was good. So I'm not criticizing it in that place. I'm just thinking of how it could be enhanced for a future match between them is all.
Oh, and that's the definite possibility. They're the kind of teams that can pull that off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. That's the possibilities, as they say, are endless for these guys.
We then come to the controversial ending, like we mentioned. The match ends. Wildcard retains the belts. And then it gets into a bit of a spat with everybody. And next thing you know, I don't think I was able to catch everybody that got involved. Camille was out, came out. Nick Aldis was already out there. Colt Cabana and Ken Anderson came out. The Dawsons came out there. Anybody that I missed, Dave?
That's pretty much who I saw. Camille. I saw Camille out there. Most of the main event roster was out there. Colt Cabana, James Storm, Tim Storm, Nick Aldis, Ken Anderson. Of course, the tag team champions were out there. Homicide and Eddie Kingston. So, I mean, it was there was a big group of people. All swarming around right there at the end of the show.
Yeah, and what do you call it? So the music starts playing as people are still coming out, everybody. So we see this, and it's like Dave said, you know, they're pointing at each other, they're yelling. No brawl happens that we see. Maybe a brawl happened afterwards, and we're going to get a recap of that next week during the three-minute interlude. We'll see what happens. I mean, again, it's like we said at the very beginning of the episode. I do not believe at all that was a botch. They planned that out. Again, they should have had a few more. That's one of the things I said to the guys offside. I don't know if I talked about it too much on here, but the show ended at about 6:52 my time is what I saw on my computer. If my computer was off, then it was off. But it was about that time, and people would think it's a botch because it ended so much early. If it ended about at the 59-minute mark, then it would probably fit much more, because especially if we could hear the announcers going, you know, oh, the music's playing, everybody, we got to get on out of here. You know, kind of like I saw those hard stops in WCW. It's like, oh, we're running out of time, everybody, you know, something like that. Because then it would be a lot more obvious for fans watching and go, okay, they're doing one of those. I'm not saying that NWA messed up by not doing those, But I could see why people would be wondering, thinking that it was a botch. But again, people just need to remember how things were in history. It's like they would have these hard stops at times. You got to do something, you know?
I got, well, and I understand what you're saying. I think the way they did it, there's more to come. That statement you made a little earlier as you were talking about it, this looks like one of those highlights for next week kind of deals. So it left you thinking, well, now I got to watch next week if I want to see what happens as a result of all these people out here.
Yeah.
You know, all the wrestlers out and they're getting in each other's faces. And I saw somebody push somebody else as they were going off the air.
Yeah.
So who knows what happened after that? Stay tuned.
Yeah. If they're smart, Dave, they will take the video of whatever brawl or whatever happens afterwards and post it separately on YouTube, on their Facebook page, on everything, and let us see that. That way we can know it much sooner, and then we do see the recap on NWA Power 7. I think that'd be the smart move in that case. That way, it's not waiting a whole week to find within a couple of days you see that, and then people are like, oh, so that's, okay. So it did turn into a brawl and everything, and maybe you have Joe Galli or something does an interlude to that video saying like, you know, we apologize, we had the hard stop in time and everything, but we wanted you guys to see what happened because this is monumental of what happened. So many things going on in the NWA and it all culminated with this big brawl and so many people getting involved. And that would be smart because then it's like only 2-3 days afterwards to let everybody know.
Gotcha. So. I mean, it's another exciting week of NWA power action, and it's left me wanting more.
Exactly,
wanting more, and that's all you can ask for.
Yep. Now, with that, of course, comes to the special part of the night, and everybody's listening live in the chat, you in both Discord and Mixlr, give your comments on this as well, Dave. It's time for the very most monumental, important, our gold seal of approval. It's time to give our MVP of the night.
MVP of the night. Thunder Rosa. Most definitely, Thunder Rosa. I think she shined a little brighter this show than she did last week.
Oh, so, yeah. Definitely. For me, I'm going to take a similar page from you, only in the fact that the first letter is the same. Because Thunder Rosa starts with a T. My MVP's got to go to Trevor Murdoch. And I know that sounds a little weird to some people, but I've really enjoyed seeing Trevor Murdoch in the ring. He looks like a sloppy country bumpkin boy. I know the way his face looks and everything, but that's okay. I mean, he does look like Dick Murdoch, so that's not a bad thing. Trevor Murdoch, I enjoyed him and Lance Cade back in the day when they were the tag team champions in WWE. This was, what, 03 to 05, I think. I really enjoyed their gimmick. You know, Lance Cade was the talker. Murdoch was the country bumpkin brawler. But Trevor, all these years, is a higher level. He is one of the big veterans. He's not a Golden Glory veteran. That's not saying in a bad way, but let's look at it. Colt Cabana. 2-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, now 2-time NWA National Champion. Nick Aldis, the World Heavyweight Champion. James Storm, former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and now the former NWA National Champion. Ken Anderson, former Mr. Money in the Bank, former United States Champion, former TNA Heavyweight Champion. You know, these guys got some records to them. Trevor Murdoch does not hold any of those big golds. He's never held any of those big golds. I'm going to pull up his record right now just to see what titles he has held. But he's building himself up to be a veteran powerhouse, you know, working with these younger guys. If you notice, all of his matches are with some of the newer guys, the jobbers, you know, as well as, you know, Ricky Starks. So he was able to help push him up. And then he's had some of these great matches with some of these other jobbers to get their names out there and build them up. He is the crusty veteran. That's what he is. And I'm looking up right now his record. In Harley Race's World League Wrestling based out of Kansas City, he's a 5-time heavyweight champion. And in World Wrestling Express, I'm not sure where that is. I'm going to pull up. He's a 1-time heavyweight and 1-time U.S. champion. So I'll take a look and see about that. He is an asset for them. because he builds up their these guys, these jobbers, these new guys who are building themselves up. And for that, plus his way in the ring, plus what he's doing, he's not talking a lot, he's not doing anything like that. Even if he did, it'd probably be good. I got to give it to Trevor Murdoch, because every week I'm enjoying his matches and seeing him destroy these guys, but we also know he's helping out as an enhancement for these guys.
Yeah, well, and there you go. There you go. An excellent choice.
So, that's my choice for that. But now, we have picked the stars that we like. Now we need to pick how many stars, Dave? It is time for the important, by the way, side note, Corbin is messaging me in the chat. It looks like it was 2005 to 2008, actually, 2009. That they were. So it was not 03, 05. They started in 05, so I was a little off. Side note for that, for Trevor Murdoch and Lance Cade. But now we must choose how many stars, Dave. What do you think are the number of stars worthy for tonight's episode?
I'm going to give tonight's show an 8.
Okay.
Not as tight as last week. I thought last week's show was tight. This one, you know, with the poor, you know, beleaguered girl jobbers at the beginning of the show, and it had great flow, and I loved it. Maybe it's Tony Falk Wrestling Farm that did it for me. I don't know. I'm not sure, but it didn't have the same punch as last week. So, yeah, there we go. There's my score.
All right. I'm going to be joining with you and giving a downgrade. Here's a quick recap, everybody. Papa Dave last week gave it a 9.5. I gave it an 8.5, so it was an even 9 for an overall. Me, I'm going to have to be in agreement with Dave, but I got to go low. I got to give it a 6. 6.5, actually. I'll be nice if I'm going to give it a 6.5. So it's a passing score in all 50 states. If people don't get that joke, down here in Florida, passing score in high school is a 60. But back in New York, where I grew up, it was a 65. It was a good show, no doubt. The women, like you said, and like I did give my comments before, the team of Brooklyn Creed and Crystal Rose, way too green. There's nothing wrong with taking experienced people from the indies and making them a jobber and doing stuff like that. Look at, here's an example, James Ellsworth. We know there's some controversy that's happened in the past with James Ellsworth, but I'm talking about the idea of why they picked him. James Ellsworth has been wrestling on the Maryland and the Mid-Atlantic Tri-State area scene for a long time. So he had enough of a time that they could use him when they had him be in that, as that jobber squash against Braun Strowman, and it got him a contract out of it. People wanted more. You know, there were times you could take a jobber who's got a lot of experience and do it like that, and these guys will be grateful to have 1 to 2 matches on pro wrestling, you know, WWE, Impact, NWA, etc. Crystal Rose. And here's the thing. Brooklyn Creed's is a Georgia local. So it makes sense that they picked her. She's local. They're able to grab her, like some of the other guys we've seen. But they need to pick people who aren't so green. The fact that I couldn't find anything on Brooklyn Creed other than her match against Crystal Rose for the WA Women's title shows that she doesn't have too much a time period. She doesn't have to be a known indie wrestler, everybody. I'm not saying they need to pick like Gino Rivera. They should. Guy's great. He's awesome. Former Arizona State heavyweight champion, you know? But, what I'm saying is, as far as the job is, they need to pick somebody who you can at least know is not going to make the match look bad. And that's what happened, I felt, with Brooklyn Creed and, to a lesser extent, Crystal Rose. I really enjoyed Tony Fox Wrestling Farm, personally. I know Dave doesn't like it. That's one of my favorite things of the week, is to see what's going to be the kooky ad of the week. So I thought that was actually pretty good. But... And I think the storyline they're trying to do now with Eli Drake and the wild card about Camille, I mean, I'm going to hold my breath and see what happens, like Dave, but it was so confusing that I'm just hoping it doesn't, you know what it pictured to me, Dave? It felt like there's going to be some weird storyline that Camille is involved with Thomas Latimer. With all the stuff going on in WWE right now with the Lana, Bobby Lashley, Rusev deal and other stuff like that, I'm just worried that it's going to be something like that. And that's the last thing I want to see is these guys come out and do some kind of relationship angle. Maybe it's not. I'm not saying that it's going to be a relationship angle, but that's what I got the feeling. You know, I mean, yeah, they left it vague enough for us to want more and see what happens the following week, but I don't know. I feel like that's the taste it gave to me. Now, next week we could find out more, and it turns out better, and I'll be happy for that. But,
yeah.
But I for right now, I got to give it a lower grade because of that. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see what pops up.
Well, and that's the, you know, it's a week to week thing. You know, not everything is going to be a triple, you know, off the back wall. You know, sometimes they hit a single, sometimes they hit a double.
Right.
Just that's the way it works.
Yeah. So with that, everybody, a 8 plus a 6.5 comes to a 14.5 divided by 2 comes out, why did I divide it by 7? I'm an idiot. It comes out to 7.25. I don't need a calculator. I could do that. So it's a 7.25 star rating for this week, which is still good. I mean, the NWA has not done bad one bit. I mean, yes, it's a downgrade from the previous week's rating that we gave it. But then again, I gave it an 8.5. Dave gave it a 9.5. You know, unless they can hit the perfect 10. Yes, I'm doing a Sean Spears reference. Ha ha, fuck him. It's gonna go down. You can almost only go down from that point with Dave's score and my score being an 8.5, same thing. So, again, it's not a bad thing. You know, you're gonna have to have lower weeks anyway. You gotta have times where you have a bigger week and a lower week, because when you have a lower week, it makes next week look much better if it's a little better. And if it's really better, it looks like an all-star. That's one of the things you gotta do. It's not just seeing how the show was overall by itself, but you also comparing with other episodes. That's just the reality. You ever watch a TV show? You ever binge watch a TV show? I love It's for Family with Bill Burr, the cartoon. I know it's a weird reference. There were episodes on that show that I think are duller than the other ones. Season 3, I think, is much duller, to be honest, than seasons 1 and 2. I watch seasons 1 and 2 nonstop sometimes. I will watch over and over. That doesn't mean I don't like season 3, but it's lower than seasons 1 and 2. Same thing goes with these episodes. There's going to be times where it goes lower. That's okay. It makes you appreciate the other ones, and it makes you appreciate the future episodes that come out even more.
There you go.
So, that's my defense.
and a good defense it is, sir.
Oh, thank you. So, with that, everybody, we're done with NWA Power. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We're an hour, 12 and a half minutes in.
Well, that's pretty good. That's better than we've been doing.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
We're getting there. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this longer episode. Those of you guys listening live, if you want to catch a recap of this, if you missed part of it, it will be uploaded through all of our different places on audio, as well as I've been uploading the episodes with a picture for our logo on YouTube as well. So, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is just WNC. Type in WNC Extra or the NWA Power Review. We only use one R for NWA Power, for the record. We don't do all three. I'm not knocking Billy Corgan for that, but, you know, I'm just saying. So if you find that, here's the funny thing, Dave. Quick side note. And I showed this to you a little bit, I think. If you type in NWA Power on YouTube with just one R, our episodes are one of the top things that pop up alongside the NWA Power episodes.
Really?
Yeah, right now, I typed in NWA Power. The first is episode 6. The second is the NWA YouTube channel. The third is episode 5. The fourth is WNC's NWA Power Review, episode 4. And then you got NWA Power episode 1, followed up by episode 4, followed up by episode 2, and after that is NWA Power Review, episode 5. The only two episodes we posted on YouTube so far.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I like that.
I do too. So, and that's also because of the fact that I only put in one R. Although I could see for NWA Power episode 3, somebody got R happy and put in four R's. NWA Power, I'm not knocking them. I just think it's funny. But yeah, so you type in that, everybody, the NWA Power, and you'll find us. You type in NWA Power Review, and we best damn well better be the top thing. Actually, you know what? We're the third thing that pops up, because we're actually third to Solomonster Sounds Off on its debut episode of NWA Power, and Rasslin's Rantin', episode. We want watch more Wrestling NWA Power Review. This is from episode one as well, it looks like. So we
Wrestling Ranton.
Yeah.
The fuck they beat.
The three S's. Wrestling Ranton. And they do their episode. But we pop in as number three and number four on the search list for that. So if you type in NWA Power Review, you find us like that. If you type in NWA Power, you find us. And our channel is just WNC. So you check out and subscribe and follow us. It comes out to a whole thing.
And, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player, Podcast Addict, Podchaser. Oh, my gosh.
Podbean, Podbay, Pod Paradise.
iHeartRadio.
Stitcher.
Stitcher. We are, you know, man, everywhere that you listen to, stream, or download your favorite podcasts, you will find the NWA Power Review from us, the WNC. Give us a listen. Give us a try. I think you'll really, I'm digging doing the show, so I think you'll dig, what we're doing. I hope you do anyway. And, dude, with that, I'm just gonna, go ahead and quietly say good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night, everybody. And again, let me just do a quick plugs again, just cause I gotta knock them out. You know, we just talked about all those different things. Follow us on our Facebook page, WNC Network. Go to our Twitter page at the WNC Network. Court Carstein, these shows archived to listen later. Yeah, exactly. All the different things we just said to you. You can go to our website, WNC.world, and check out. We have a platforms listing to show everywhere, all of our platforms, our Facebook, our Twitter, Wrestling Soup Network that we're on, Spreaker, and everything else that we're on. Even listed off, our Twitch channel, our Fight TV link. You can check us out. All the different places possible to listen to us. Whatever you use, most likely we're on it. And, you could support us on our Patreon account, patreon.com/WNC. If you want to get in on our fantasy booking tournament where you will be on the air booking matches in a tournament face off other people and win the tournament and win our actual championship belt that you will keep for life. This is your belt for this year for yourself. That's it. That's how you can earn it. You can get on the air. All you gotta do is go to patreon.com/WNC and donate a minimum of $10 throughout the year. Again, dollar here, dollar there, dollar everywhere. $1 a month for 10 months, $5 a month for 2 months, $10 a month for 1 month, $5 for 1 month, $1 for 5 months. However you want to work it, as long as it equals $10 by New Year's Day, you are entered in our fantasy booking tournament. The belt costs a lot more than that, not to mention the menagerie of prizes you will be able to get. If you win or become the runner-up, make it to the finals, you will get a t-shirt. You will get two wrestling DVDs now. You will get a wrestling action figure. You will get an autographed picture. You will get hell money. Again, it's a running gag that we got from the old Chinese proverbs. A wrestling comic book. We have so many different things available that you will be, you will get all of that. And yes, like Luke Burt said, it is your belt for your life. You will keep it until the day you die. And if you want to be buried with that, you will be buried with that belt as long as you put it in your will. Okay? Do not let your friends screw off on that. All those different things are up available for you. It's not saying you can get one of each of those things. You will get all of those things that I just mentioned in the prize if you win the tournament or you come in second place. So please check it out. Patreon.com/WNC. Support us there. Support us on Facebook. Support us on Twitter. Support us on Twitch. Support us on Fight TV. Support us on YouTube. Everywhere. And with that, I'm getting out and out of here. I'm Johnny Florida. He was Papa Dave. And we bid you adieu. Stay cool. Stay tuned for the next episode.